Generosity is one of those things that maybe it's sometimes difficult for us to define, but we know it when we see it, don't we? And it's an experience when we experience it in our own lives, when we see it in the lives of others, it inspires us. I mean, don't you want to see more of this type of thing? Do you think our world and our news feeds would be maybe a little bit better if more of that was happening? And don't you want to be a part of this? I hope you answered yes, and if you did, then you should be encouraged today, because today we are kicking off our fall campaign, and the fall campaign simply means a time when the home fellowships that we enjoy during the week and our Sunday morning teachings are combined, and we're going to be talking about and learning the same thing, and the goal is that we would be unified in our learning and unified in how we're growing together in Jesus, so that we as a church family can be transformed together and we can go out into all the communities that we represent and be change agents for Jesus. Now, I know this. Our culture is not always friendly to followers of Jesus. There are many things that we believe and many things that we do that people would challenge, criticize, mock, push back against, and refute. But this is not one of them. Generosity is one of the things that's so utterly attractive that almost everybody is moved by it when they see it, and they want to see more of it. And the good news is that God wants us this for us and for them too. And he makes it possible to live in such a way that generosity overflows from our lives in an obvious and in a winsome way so that people are actually attracted to it and ultimately drawn to him as a result. I call this idea living in the flow, and this is sort of for today, kind of the way that we're going to look at this and the way that I would summarize it, and the big idea is this, that God has been generous to you so you can be generous to others. Now, today, we're going to look at the key passage for this idea and the key passage for this series, and we're going to talk about what it means to live in the flow of generosity in such a way that we can partner with God to do it. Now, in the weeks that come, we're going to talk about applying this idea to lots of different topics and lots of different areas of our lives so that this can really begin to flow in and through us. And my hope and my prayer is that as we, as a church, crank up the generosity dial to 11, that amazing things would happen, that we as a church community and the people that are all around us will be permanently changed, and that God would have a smile put on his face from us as a proud heavenly dad that's looking down. So let's go ahead and get into today's text, and we'll discuss what living in the flow involves and how we can begin operating in that even today. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screens. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 11. And it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, let's break this down, and we're going to kind of like sort of see the three big pieces or the three moves of what it means to live in the flow of generosity. And the first is this, it's the recognition of generosity. That's the very first thing we need to begin living in the flow. Now, we're going to come back. I know we jumped in the middle of a scripture passage. We're going to come back later in this series and do a little bit more context on that. But for now, know that Paul is writing and he's imploring this church at Corinth to be generous in a very specific way. And as he speaks to them to be generous, he lays out some foundational ideas about living in the flow. The first one that we need to look at is the recognition of generosity that has already flowed to us. Now, for some of us, you may think, man, you've already hit a wall, because maybe you're not sure that God actually has been generous to you. In fact, maybe for you, you've said, well, the day I get, and you can define whatever that is, that's the day that I will begin to be generous and share with other people. Now, what I would say to that is that may be a good sentiment, but that may also be an excuse that prevents you from really living in this flow because you're waiting on something that you don't have yet instead of recognizing and appreciating and being aware of the blessings that have already flowed into your life. So when it starts with this recognition, it all starts with God. It starts with understanding who He is and what He's like. Let me ask you, how would you, when you think of God, how would you define Him? We know that God is loving. We know He's gracious. We know He's merciful. I mean, we know He's creative. Look at all the different types of people, all the different types of animals. Look at our beautiful world. We know that He's just. We know that He's kind. We know that He is just many, many different things. But do you know that God is generous? Think about it. Why are you alive and breathing today? Some of you are thinking, because I'm a fast swimmer. Well, listen, understand that biology may be the means, some of you just got that now, may be the means by which He brought you onto the planet. But that's not how a generous God ordained that you should be here, so He designed and created you. That is why you're here. It's not just chance. And listen to that. And God brought you here. He gave you life. And many of us, all of us actually, have done things and we've messed it up in various ways. And God is still so generous that He, despite your failure and mine, put a redemptive plan in place to deal with all of our sin. That's all the wrongness that we've done, the things we shouldn't have done, the things that we didn't do that we should have, and all these things that separate us from Him. He put a generous plan of redemption in place at great cost. It cost the precious blood of His Son, Jesus. I mean, that's pretty generous. For those of you that are parents, could you imagine sacrificing your child for the life of someone else that's been guilty of doing something? Well, that is exactly what God did. You see, living in the flow doesn't begin with praying for more blessings to come into our lives. God, would you bless me? It's recognizing the blessings that God has already given you in a generous way. And it isn't just life and salvation, although that's plenty. God pours many blessings into our lives. And the verses say, God is able to bless you. He's the one who supplies seeds, and He's the one who enriches us. So we have to begin by recognizing the source. Now, the truth of the matter is, every single person on this planet can live in this flow because of this idea called common grace. That is, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you still get the benefit and blessing of common grace. We all have the sun that shines down on us. We have the rain that comes down. We have air to breathe. We have relationships. We have many good things that's called this common grace. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we have all of those things, and we have so much more inside Jesus. We have so much more that those apart from Him can't experience, though they can, and we hope that someday they will. But living in the flow begins by understanding that God is the source of all generosity. But it also starts with understanding generosity. What do you think of when you think of generosity? For many of us, our minds go to money. And that's actually the context of the passage that we read. But the principles Paul teaches are far broader than just dealing with financial resources. The text says, God will bless you abundantly and you will be enriched in every way. What do you suppose every way means? Every way, right? It's not a trick question. Every way. God has blessed us all in common ways, and He's blessed us in specific ways and in specific measures. It's all different, but God has been generous to every single person here. But there's a few reasons why we sometimes don't recognize God's generosity. One of the reasons is maybe we're looking for a specific type of generosity. Well, God hasn't given me a lot of money. And we may fail to see the many other ways that God has been very generous to us. And so in this series, we're going to look at a lot of different ways that God's been generous to us and that we can live in that flow. He's been generous to us in forgiveness, in kindness, in inclusion, in relationship, in invitation, in time, in talents, and treasures. And we're going to talk about all of these. But sometimes, so first of all, it's understanding what generosity really is. But sometimes we fail to recognize God's generosity to us because we're too busy comparing or coveting His generosity to other people. Like, just simple ways. There's so many ways we could do that. You know, I'm super excited. So this boot comes off, and my foot's been healing, and that's been a good thing. But you know, I've kind of become attached to this boot, and I've kind of been thinking about getting more. The reason is, it gives me a little bit of a height boost. And as a short guy, only on one side though, so I'm thinking about getting another one, and I might single-handedly bring platform shoes back for men, which hasn't been fashionable since Kiss, but I'm thinking about doing it nonetheless. But think about it. If I began to be so consumed with, man, the blessings that God's been generous with other people that are tall, and if I begin to fixate on that blessing and just think about, man, what must that be like to reach the top shelf sometimes without having to throw stuff at it to knock it down? Or, man, I bet the air's really good up there. It's just got to be awesome. You know, instead, I can be so focused on some blessing that somebody else has that I fail to see the blessing that God has given me. And there are many blessings. And so we have to be careful not to compare. Sometimes we fail to recognize God's generosity because we take credit for the blessings he's given us. Has God been generous to me? Or have I earned the money? After all, I'm the one that went to work. Or I invested in the rich relationships I enjoy. Or I studied and worked hard for the job that I have or the success that I've achieved. I am a self-made man or woman. Careful. Question to you is, which part of yourself did you make? Your heart? Your brain? Do you have a factory in your basement where you're cranking out organs? And did you somehow do that before you were alive? See, no, every single one of us owe everything that we have to God. God gave you life. God gave you relative health. And perhaps you were born into a family that gave you a head start. You were given access to opportunities. You were given certain and specific skills. You were either born or you now live in a country that provides many opportunities that even in other countries, even if you worked really hard and had all these benefits, you wouldn't be able to achieve what you're able to do. So listen, I could keep going, but I think you get the point. Living in the flow means the recognition of generosity that has extended to us. It means recognizing God has been generous to us and with many blessings that he's poured out into our lives. So here's some homework that I want to recommend for all of us to really kind of get engaged in this process. A great exercise would be go home and write down all of the ways that God has been generous to you. And then step two, I want you to turn that into a prayer list. Because all of us, when we pray to God, right, we go to God and we ask him for more stuff. And that's cool. Jesus said, ask God for what you need. But I think before we ask God for more stuff, it would be kind of cool if we thanked him for what he's already given us. Say, God, you've given me this. You're such a good provider. You're so generous. And thank you. And watch what that begins to do in your own life. See, the flow of generosity has already been extended your way. And the question for us is, what are you going to do with it? And that leads us to the next part of the flow, and that is the release of generosity. Let me share this story with you. It's from Business Line, and it's February 9th, 2018. And forgive me if I butcher any of these pronunciations. And the Naginati begins to flow again. A dead river comes alive thanks to people's effort. At a time when rivers are drying up and farmers are migrating to the cities for work, comes a heartwarming story of the revival of the Naginati River of Tamil Nadu. 15 years ago, it used to flow through the Vellore and some other districts and would merge with another place. But once the lifeline of the Vellore villages, the river went dry. Despite the effort of farmers to grow crops such as tomato, groundnut, and banana that requires less water, returns from the barren land were not enough to sustain them. In 2014, taking the guidance of geologist Lingaraju Yale, director of Naginati River Rejuvenation Program designed to model to revive the river, three important steps were taken simultaneously. While there was a campaign to boost the confidence of the villagers using remote sensing and satellite maps, He and his team prepared the plans for the catchment area of the river. They built 600 recharge wells and 600 boulder blocks. These structures ensured flows of the water into the aquifers. To hold the water, hundreds of hardy, drought-resistant saplings were planted around and across the river basin. And if you read on in the story, you'll find that a lot of the people that are local there helped and contributed in the work. And then it goes on to describe some of that. But then it says, when the rains came in 2015 and 16, after the structures were constructed, water started flowing into them. The river was alive again after 15 years. Seeing the success of the effort, government support was assured. And it goes on to say that in that village, Valour District, farmers began cultivating the crops that he wanted to. He says, now that we have water in wells and groundwater is abundant, not only in our village, but in the vicinity as well. And so we have started growing rice. Next year, we plan to cultivate wheat and sugarcane. This is a huge step forward. Now, this story gives us, a true story, gives us some insight into the flow of generosity. First of all, know that the flow can run dry through irresponsible use and behavior, which is kind of what, if you read the story deeper, you'd find. Second, when it runs dry, it's to the great detriment of people all around it who are depending on the many life-giving things it provided. And third, through intentional and responsible actions, the river can begin to flow again with very real, life-changing, life-saving benefits. You see, what these people did and what we need to do is realize that in our lives, at least in some areas, the flow of generosity has run dry. God has blessed us with so many different things, but rather than allowing these things to flow through us and to other people, in many cases, we began to keep it to ourselves, which is foolish, irresponsible, and lacking in faith. Because God has been generous to you, so you can be generous to others. Listen to it. Let me read back those verses. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, you may have all that you need, and you will abound in every good work. And in verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see, living in the flow, recognizes the many blessings that God has given and then releases these blessings to flow to other people. You see, God is still the source of all the blessings, and yet you and I get to be the conduits through which they flow. God has called us to be rivers, not reservoirs, when it comes to his generosity. You see, a river has a continuous flow and there's fresh water that keeps moving through it. But a reservoir, don't think of the wonderful reservoirs we have in around our towns to drink from. If you think of the Old Testament, talked of these cisterns, carved out places where water would be collected. And what happens is this water, it goes out of circulation and it stays stuck. And, you know, animals fall in it, decay, and it just over time it gets bad because there's nothing in there and it becomes stale. Now, withholding generosity has a negative impact on our lives and on the lives of other people. I mean, think about it. In our world, how many good things go undone because people refuse to live in the flow? I would also say that it stunts our spiritual growth, and that happens whenever we refuse to live as God calls us to. You see, the flow reminds us that this generosity that we've been given from God can't stop with us, but it has to keep moving. We need to release that. Now, when it comes to doing this, the most obvious thing we look at is our actions. What generous thing are we doing? How are we sharing our time to help somebody else? How are we using the skills God has given us to benefit another person? How are we giving our money to help meet a need? How are we helping make connections that we have with other people to help them? And all that's important, and we should consider our actions. But actions are not enough. We need to drill down deeper if we're really going to live in this way to what's going on beneath that. You see, part of us being willing and ready to release generosity to others is our faith. We have to believe that God wants to and is able to bless us abundantly, and that if we give something away, he is able to provide much more for us in return. Do you believe that? You see, we have to trust that when God calls us to live in the flow, it's not going to stop. You say, hey, just kidding, I'm all out of stuff. That no, we have to believe that God who has everything, creates everything, will continue to provide. I want to read, I think there's a great example in the Old Testament, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory. So let me just share with you from 1 Kings chapter 17. It's Elijah, and if you remember the story of him and the widow, picking it up in verse 7. It says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. That's Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. And see, God just will use anyone to be the conduit of his blessing. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now, if you think about it, especially in that culture, a widow and she had a son, a widow in that culture did not have the opportunity to have a lot of provision. She was deeply dependent and didn't have much, and there was already a famine as it was. And it says, as she was going to get, he stopped and asked her, would you give me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, she said, sure. He called and said, and bring me a piece of bread. This is where it gets hard because there's not a whole lot of bread. And she said, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. In other words, this is it. I'm on the very edge, and we're just going to enjoy this last meal, and I don't know what happens after there. And Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. The opposite of being paralyzed by fear is faith. He says, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. There's the faith. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. How did that work? I don't know. But the point is that God did what he said, and he kept providing for this woman, kept providing for his prophet and this person in this opportunity. And you see, that's the picture for us, is understanding and having faith. Even though we can't see how it works, we don't understand it, we believe God when he says it works, and so we step out in faith. But you see, we have to go even deeper than that. We can't just look at our actions. We can't just look at our faith. We really have to go down deeper all the way to our hearts. You see, in the original Greek, this word generous means openness of heart. And that's a great way to look at generosity. It's an open heart that has open hands. And it's also a good way to look at the opposite, which is greed. Greed is a closed heart that has closed hands. So an honest question is, where is your heart today? You see, there's one heart that releases. There's another heart that just kind of hangs on to everything for lots of different reasons. It could be fear. It could be lack of faith, lack of trust, many different things going on there. But the question to ask is, where are you today? Are you living in an abundance mentality that recognizes this big flow of God's generosity and so that we're able to share? Or are you living in a scarcity mentality that just sees the little bit of crumbs at the bottom of the jar and says, I don't even know how I can feed myself. I don't even know how I'm ever going to help anybody else. Living in the flow requires us to examine our actions, our faith, and our heart to see where we need to ask God to help begin to make some adjustments so that we can release. As it says, God has enriched us in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. And what I really love about this every way deal is it means that we can be really creative when it comes to generosity. It's not just writing large checks. For some, that is a way you can be generous. But some say, I wish I could. If I could write a large check, it just won't clear. Look, there's lots of other ways that you can be generous. There's many different ways. Let me share with you a couple examples of generosity that has just been I've been able to see and be a part of recently that shows what it looks like and how it can make an impact. Again, my foot being broken, there's a lot of things I can't do. So when I get excited every year when the truck comes and a couple cords of wood drops in my yard, it's like I get videos of it. I'm super excited about watching that happen. But this year I couldn't stack it. And you know what? Three people from our church body came over. They spent several hours, worked hard, and kind of helped stack all of my wood because they knew I was in a situation where I was unable to do that for myself. And I can't even tell you how I'm not going to name them because I want them to still get their, you know, the treasures in heaven kind of a thing. I want to get them the rewards now. Yay. It's like, okay, great. Thanks for stealing my reward. But honestly, it was so moving to me. And here's the thing. People do things like this for one another in this church all the time. It's just that I got to see it from that perspective of being the beneficiary in this. And it was so moving to me. Let me tell you another example. I don't know if you realize today, all the band members were wearing pink today. And there's a reason for that. Yes, we know it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and yet that while that's good, and every single one of us hates cancer, every single one of us has known someone that has either struggled with cancer or passed because of cancer. You know, we have a policy at Calvary on stage. We don't normally do any kind of causes from the stage other than Jesus Christ. And yet, there's just something super cool that happened with the band. We know that there's someone on the team whose mom has been a fighter and has been fighting her way through cancer. And what's super cool is that the band has been supportive of her in the process. And what they wanted to do today was to support and recognize that we're with you because that woman and her mom is here today. And so that's their way of saying, we want to support you, a generosity of support that says we care about you and we're coming alongside you. We're in on this fight. Do you see there's so many different ways that you and I can be creative when it comes to generosity? And what those Indian people did was recognize the problem of a river not flowing. And then instead of saying, that's okay, they figured out what needed to be done. They diligently did that, and the river began to flow again, and great things happened. And we really need to do the same in our lives or wherever it's run dry in our church or our churches, because great things happen when God's river of generosity begins to flow again too. And that's the last thing we're going to look at today, is the results of generosity. See, this is where things get exciting. If you're thinking, oh, well, that's all well and good, but why is this so important that we're devoting this whole next couple of months and fall campaign to this? Then I hope that if you have that question is this, that you will catch a vision of why this is so important to us and everybody else. Because the first result of living in the flow is the obvious result. It meets needs. Seeds are scattered, things grow, and it helps people in a myriad of ways. I mean, God has already poured out all the blessings needed that it would fix many of our world's problems when it comes to hunger, when it comes to diseases, when it comes to shelter, clean water, and so forth. The problem is many of those resources of time, talent, treasure, skill, knowledge, whatever, are still being hoarded in reservoirs, just sitting on the sideline rather than being put into play. I mean, we have seen the results. When God's people really begin to get generous, it changes things. I mean, think back through history. Many of the early hospitals were built by churches, by Christian people. Many of the universities, the Ivy League schools that may not have a strong proclamation of Jesus now, were built by people because they wanted people to have an education. And so many of these things was the generosity of Christ followers in the past. But the question is, it's staggering the impact. But what about now? Are we okay where things are at? I mean, or do we want to see more? Well, what holds us back from that? Wouldn't you like to see more results from living in the flow? Wouldn't you like to see new things happen to where people look on and are amazed? When people look at the church and instead of saying all the things you know that they say, would look on and say, wow, I don't know if I believe what they believe, but I love the way that they live and I love the way that they are so generous with others. Now listen, what impact that would make, I think it would be phenomenal. But it's not just when we look at the results, it's not just what it does in meeting other people's needs. It also has an impact on your own life. I want you to think of your own life as one of the results. One of the results is further blessing. When you pour out and when you release, God is able to bless you. It says he will continue to bless you and enrich you in various ways because you can be entrusted to keep the generosity in play as you release it to others. Now I have to have a word of caution here. This is not some type of pyramid scheme. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Like, honey, I've been listening to the Bible and what Pastor Bill says. I think I have an angle. If you do that, your heart's really in the wrong place for this. Listen, I completely reject the prosperity gospel and doctrine that teaches, you know, if you whatever you give to God, he's going to give tenfold over. Look, that's not true, and that teaching has been manipulated, and people have been abused by that teaching, and it's wrong. We shouldn't think we give in order to get way more blessing from God. But at the same time, we don't want to go on the opposite end of the spectrum and the pendulum and say, well, there's nothing to that, because Scripture does teach as you release God's blessings, he's going to bless you back in many ways. It's just not always going to be financial blessing, but the idea is God will further bless you as you release blessings because he wants you to live as a river, not a reservoir. But it's not only further blessing. Another result of generosity is transformation. You see, you may enter living in the flow with a surface level action and do certain things like, okay, that's a little generous, that's different than I used to. But as you remain operating in it, it will change you not only externally, but internally. It will deepen your faith, change your heart, and help you be even more generous, even as God is. I mean, we all love the stories of change when it comes to generosity, don't we? I mean, I still love the story of the Grinch. His heart's two sizes too small. Something happens. He becomes just a lovable creature. Ebenezer Scrooge, right? We all like the after version of him far more than the miserly old man beforehand. We love these stories. And by the way, I'm not calling anyone here Grinch or Scrooge. What I'm saying is, be careful, preacher. What I'm saying is we all, wherever we are on the spectrum of generosity, have the opportunity to grow in that by God's help and God's glory. Do you remember how we said that a closed heart can prevent us from living in the flow? Well, of course, if we identify that that's where we are today, then of course we should pray that God would change our hearts. But we don't have to, and we shouldn't wait for something to happen as we pray. We can begin acting even now in a generous way, and as we do, God does a cool thing. God will honor that and change our hearts even as we take steps of faith in that direction. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So let's expand treasure, though, to include all of God's generous blessings given to you. Now, if you keep all these blessings to yourself, you're going to have a closed heart, and your life is just going to be all about you. However, if you will release these things, then your heart follows your treasure. You know, that's a principle, by the way. In Scripture, Jesus says, you know, wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. And so it's kind of like this idea, if you invest in a stock, all of a sudden you're concerned about there. If you invest in God's kingdom, all of a sudden your heart begins to move in the kingdom. And if you invest in people, your heart's going to get wrapped up and invested, and you're going to care about their lives. And so this idea, as we invest, it's more leaning into this idea of living with an open heart. And that's what God wants for you. It's the best place we can possibly be. And it's a great benefit. But another result is righteousness. In verse 9, it says, those who scatter seeds, their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, God will enlarge the harvest of righteousness to the sower. Now, we have to be clear. When we speak of righteousness, we're not talking about positional righteousness. Positional righteousness is in Jesus, we are seen by God just as right as we'll ever be. And that was done by Jesus' generous death for us and the sacrifice he made for us. We can never improve upon that. We can never become more positionally righteous with God. So we got that. But what this is speaking of is our practical righteousness. God helps make us, after God saves us, he wants to change our thoughts, change our behavior, change the things that we do so that we are more conformed to him and living in a righteous way. So part of this is living in a way that God looks down and says, they're doing the right thing. And so this is part of the result for that, is that God is pleased in all of these things. And by the way, this is one of the reasons that we shouldn't section off generosity as some siloed thing that, oh, that's part of what I have to do. Understand, this deeply falls under one of the areas that falls under the bigger picture thing we call discipleship. So if we're not growing in this area, we are stunting our spiritual growth in a huge way. Now, as we talk about all this, even more importantly than all the results that it brings to you, is it says this: your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It all begins and ends with God. He is the source of all blessings that flows to us and through us as we release it to others. So we shouldn't get the credit for it, and we shouldn't try to accept it when someone else tries to give it. When you ever done that, you've been generous to someone and you've shared a blessing God's given you, and they're trying to give you accolades. And when someone does that, you should say, listen, stop. The reason we're doing this is because we're trying to live in the flow of God's generosity. That's kind of why we're doing this. But let me tell you about the who that's behind all this. And it's that opportunity when people see that we can make the connection and we can give God the glory and the thanksgiving, because all credit goes to Him. And I believe when we choose to live in the flow, let Him begin to work in our hearts and live with an open heart, to open our hands and live with an open hands with all the different things that He's blessed us with and all the myriad of ways, I believe it touches God's heart. You ever think about God who has everything? What could we possibly give Him? I think the best gift we can give Him constantly is a pure, surrendered, soft heart towards Him. One of the things that I love so much, my youngest daughter, Ava, she's so generous. If she has one piece of candy or one cookie, you won't even say anything. She'll break it in half, try to hand it to you. And I used to try to refuse that and say, oh no, you keep your candy. But I eat it now. It's like, that's so mean, jerk. But here's why. Because that is her way of sharing and blessing someone else with the little bit that she has. And you know what? It touches my heart. Not because I need the candy. I could go to the store and buy all the candy I want. In fact, what she's giving me probably came through allowance I gave her, or maybe she baked something from groceries that we bought. But it isn't the stuff. It's her heart. It's the open heart that says, this is what I have, and I want to give that back to you. And it warms me to see that generosity inside of her. And don't you think our Heavenly Father feels the same? Of course, everything we have comes from Him. It's not like, oh good, I get more stuff. It came from Him. He blessed, He poured, He rained those blessings down upon us. So whatever it is, we offer back to Him and are generous and let that flow. It touches His heart. And I think it puts a smile on His face. So today, we stayed at a high level. All we did today is set the stage. But I hope you began to feel a little bit inspired about what could happen if we really began to sort of practice this open-hearted generosity and live in this way. I mean, think about it. Through this little church in a very unchurched area of our country, this church that is not famous and, you know, is not known outside of here, and yet despite all of that, God has allowed His generosity to flow to us and through us in amazing ways. We've seen many people come to know Jesus, the most generous gift that God has ever given. We've seen that happen time and time and time and time again here, and people move away and then carry that with them wherever they go the rest of their lives. We've been able to meet needs with whether it's people's rent or foods or vehicles or different things. We've been on the ground working with survivors of human trafficking. We've been able to step in and go out and meet needs for disaster relief in lots of different places. We've been able to do things in West Virginia. We've been able to be a part of planting other churches in this area. We've been able to make an impact in places like Haiti, France, Yemen, Kenya, and so many more things. It's just scratching the surface. And the question is, what's next? And what I say is that all depends on us. What more could happen and would happen if we all got in on this and began to live this way? How many lives could we touch? How many lives would be transformed? How could our lives be transformed? How much more glory can we point God's way? And how much more can we make God smile? I invite you, let's find out together as we get very serious and very intentional about living in the flow of generosity. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your graciousness and your generosity to us. You're a good God, and forgive us for maybe focusing on the things that you have not provided, and help us to stop and recognize the many wonderful things you have given us. I thank you for every single person that's here today. They are a gift. Their presence here is a gift, and I thank you that we can worship together and be a church community that loves you and wants to be grown by you. And I do pray, God, that as we look at our actions and look at our faith, that we would do all that, but that we wouldn't miss looking at our own hearts and seeing where we need to allow you to help transform us into more open-hearted people throughout this campaign. And I pray you do that. And God, I pray for those that are here today that maybe don't know you, that I pray that today would be the day that they would see that you're not some harsh, mean God in the sky yelling at them and mad at them, but God, you're a generous, loving God who wants to generously pour out more blessings in their lives, building upon the greatest blessing you poured out, and that's your son, Jesus. And I pray some would respond today. And listen, if that's you, if you're here today, as we talked about today, it all starts with God. God, you know, we don't earn our righteousness in any way. God has provided that for us through what he did on the cross. On the cross, Jesus died. We all sinned, and we should have paid that price for those sins. And yet Jesus laid down his life so that we could have new life. And when we believe in him, the Bible says, well, if we believe with our mouth, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and raised from the dead, that we will be saved. And so the opportunity you have before you today is, if you maybe brought here by a friend or a family member, a loved one, maybe just stumbled in here, however you got here, if you're here today and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, that's the place this all begins. Let him begin to heal you, to forgive you, to transform you, to do a work in your heart. And I'm not promising your life will be perfect or free from pain and suffering. That's not true. But I am promising you that God will be with you. He'll have a generosity of forgiveness, grace, and presence in your life that will surpass anything that you've experienced so far. And if you want to enter into that flow of this relational connection with God, then I want to encourage you to join me in this prayer. Church, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And if that's you today, you could just say this prayer in your heart. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I have sinned and done many things wrong in my life. It's comforting to know you died for everyone. Please forgive me and let your grace, mercy, love, and peace begin to generously flow in me and through me. I surrender to you today. I offer you my life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen."